I know microlearning has been around for a long time as well, but I still think the way that it's positioned and the way that learning organizations even structure and insert themselves into the business, I think is something that I'm at least pushing to kind of evolve as we show up in our organization.
You're listening to Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. On each episode, we sit down with key industry experts to discover more about what's happening in the world of learning and development. From current trends and insights to the most valuable lessons learned along the way. Join us for a fresh perspective on all things training and the best direction forward.
So welcome everyone to the Learning Leader Spotlight, where we interview the learning leaders of tomorrow to help the learning leaders of today. So I'm your guest host, Lori Fancher. I'm a relationship manager at Training Pros, and Training Pros is an L&D contract staffing company. We like to say, when you have more projects than people, let us help you find the best candidate for your project with ease and confidence. So today I have Chantel Nash with me. Welcome, Chantel.
Hi, Lori. Thank you.
We met quite a while ago at the Brandon Hall Group Awards conference, and you were winning some awards then, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Thank you so much for participating today as our guest on this podcast. So Chantel Nash actually has 15 years experience in L&D. She's worked with big corporate companies in the oil and gas industry. She's led the Leadership Development Institute and had emphasis on the digital experience platforms and learning experience platforms within those companies, and really has been a leader in the global learning space. So thank you again for attending today, Chantel.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for the invite. I'm happy to be here.
Let's jump right in to some of the questions we have for you today. So can you share with the audience a 60-second overview of what you do?
Sure. So I currently work for BAE Systems, Inc. We are one of the largest U.S. aerospace and defense contractors. And I lead functional training and enablement for the electronic systems sector. So I partner very closely with our functional training leads, which are folks in engineering, operations, things like that, quality. And we're really trying to optimize frontline training. And we're obviously very heavily regulated. So processes, procedures, and operational excellence is kind of my jam right now. And then I also am helping influence and partner with our headquarters on some of the learning technology pieces as well.
So you're a busy girl.
Yes, I am busy.
What about L&D first attracted you to this field, Chantel?
I initially started my working life working at a veterinary clinic. And, you know, that was a very passionate area for me. I love animals. And just kind of seeing where there could have been processes or procedures that could have done better or helped us take better care of the animals, It led me down this path of wanting to problem solve for that type of stuff. And at first I thought it was communications. I do have an undergrad degree in communications, and I thought that was going to solve all the problems. People just need to communicate better. And while that's still true, I take a very multidisciplinary approach these days, which you'll probably hear me talk more about. But I also kind of realized that, you know, people don't know what they don't know, and how are people getting the information they need to do their jobs well and stuff like that. So that's what kind of started my path into learning and development and just implementing things here and there to help people do their jobs better.
Awesome. What are the most impactful changes that you've seen? You've been in the field for 15 years. What are the most impactful changes you've seen just in the last few?
Not surprisingly, AI is really the top of the list for me there. And to be honest, we still don't use it a lot. Of course, being in our industry, there are a lot of regulations around use of AI. But even in some of my past roles, it's definitely something that people aren't super comfortable with. But we do actually have tools now, not specific to learning, but in our organization that have helped with learning, just using an LLM that we can put in prompts to and just help us get some information to help planning for a learning program, for example. So that has, I think it's really been around for a while, but I think it's really accelerated at a pace in the past few years. I know there are a lot of companies using it for learning in very innovative ways. So that's probably the thing that's had the biggest impact most recently.
Okay. So where do you see this all going? I mean, what do you foresee in the next 5 to 10 years, given the rapid change that we've seen just in the last few?
Right. I don't think it'll be so much related to technology, surprisingly. I actually think from a learning standpoint that the way that we think of learning inside organizations is having a shift. At least I like to think it's having a shift to where learning isn't always necessary to be called learning. People are busy, especially in the industry I'm in now. There's very tactical things people need to be doing and that we're going to focus on for business reasons. And we need them to have information to do their jobs. So we also need to make sure that stuff is something that doesn't take all of their time or that they can get just in time. And when we think about how to do those things, you know, again, I'll bring up the multidisciplinary stuff. I think there is a very strong overlap in learning and marketing. And how do we influence people and get them information that they need or point them to things without saying, hey, here's a training course or here's a program or, you know, really this event-based content that they get, whether it's literally an event that they're signing up to do facilitated or even on demand, right? It's still something that it feels like people have to set aside time to do. And I know microlearning has been around for a long time as well, but I still think the way that it's positioned and the way that learning organizations even structure and insert themselves into the business, I think is something that I'm at least pushing to kind of evolve as we show up in our organization.
Wow. And the microlearning too, I have seen a really big continued effort with among the folks that I talk to around the microlearning and the need for it, just in, even in different modalities and more mobile learning.
Yeah.
Place.
Totally agree. Yeah. Like podcasts and things like that. How do we integrate some of that we might not normally think of as, you know, a traditional learning resource? Yeah.
Yeah. And podcasts too. Right. It's just cool to see where all this is going to go in the next few years for sure.
This episode is brought to you by Training Pros, the award-winning contract staffing agency that works exclusively with learning and development professionals to match the right consultants to client projects. If you're in corporate L&D and have more projects than people, let the industry practitioners at Training Pros provide you with the right L&D consultant to start your project with confidence. Find out how we make finding quality consultants easy by scheduling a consultation at www.trainingpros.com.
If you had unlimited budget, unlimited support, and you could do anything that you wanted to do, what would that look like?
Well, I don't think I could honestly answer this question without saying something about technology. Anything that we do technology-wise, we, of course, want to be meaningful for the business. But the reality is there's also a lot of cost. And technology alone, I totally understand that doesn't just solve your problems magically, but it does help with a lot of things. And I think if you're aware of that and you have the right change management approaches and things like that, it absolutely can be helpful to have technology, even in some cases where it is just an enabler versus having a direct business impact. I'm a big proponent of ROE, which is return on experience, or ROE squared, which is return on experience and engagement. And those things are a little bit harder to have a direct to calculate and show, hey, here's the direct business savings we're getting or cost reductions and things like that. But I do think there are a lot of other ways that you can track metrics against that and show value in that. That often is just lower in the stack when you're talking about making business cases and are you going to get the investment for those things? So if I had unlimited, you know, funds, you know, I know I would still be held to making sure that we're not just doing things for fun. But at the same time, I think I would definitely add a lot more to our tech stack if I could just do whatever I wanted.
So when you're thinking about your plans for the future, and let's say they all do become, you realize all of them. When you look at your teams and you think about the L&D teams in general, what do you think are going to be the hardest skills to find? And are the roles going to look different going forward?
Yeah, I absolutely do think they will. I think the biggest thing that I struggle with, which I'm probably biased because of my personal experience, but I do see how useful it is to have that multidisciplinary skill set, whether it's communications, marketing, change management, and the learning pieces of this, the digital product management pieces of this. So what I find a little difficult is how do you find people that there's like an M-shaped leader, right? So you have deep experience in several different areas. And I really call it I want it to go like for a while, a very long wave. And so, yeah, I think just by nature of how we are expected to specialize in something specific when we go to school and things like that, I think you have to be pretty intentional or just have that right you know, fortune to have those experiences like I have, where you can get fairly deep experience. I'm not an expert in all of these things by any means, but I know quite a bit to see how they connect to each other. And I think finding other people who can come on the team and understand all those different disciplines the same way that you do, or that is required for the organization to perform at that high level, that's where sometimes I see a need for. And where I think with the changing nature of work and kind of the skills based and gig based stuff, I think we'll get there in the future. But that's something that I've noticed, specifically when you look at learning too. It's a very specific field in some ways, you know, your instructional design principles and things like that. So I'd like to see that expand a little bit to look at some of the skills that L&D professionals could use a bit more broadly.
I love how you linked it to marketing. I know that is also a key skill that all L&D professionals need. And thank you so much for sharing that. So if you think about the industry news, and so we can go get industry news from all different places, right? And it's important for us to know that. If we're in L&D, where do you go for your information that helps you in your role?
It depends, right? It depends on what I'm trying to do. I will say, of course, I will look at research, you know, all of the heavy hitters that do. We talked about Brandon Hall earlier, right? Like that's, you have a lot of your best in industry organizations that are both contributing to their types of research and things like that. And other organizations like them, you've got the Josh Bersons of the world and things like that. I will also say, though, because of the multidisciplinary focus that I tend to have, I'm just really big on being a self-directed learner and, you know, Googling and whatever that comes up. I do tend to prefer sometimes some of the more social channels, like LinkedIn, of course, just because you have access to all different kinds of people in a network. And there's very few things in life, I think, that are really black and white. And so I like to challenge assumptions. And even if there's one way of doing things, even if I prefer it that way, what are other ways of doing that? What do other people feel are challenges related to that? And just really constantly getting new information. And not that I don't ever like land on anything, but it's really more of a truly continual experience to check my assumptions. If there's something I don't know, I'm going to go and just Google it and see whether it's a YouTube video or maybe it's another community. I will go to specific communities I'm aware of on certain topics as well. But it's really a mixed bag for me, depending on what I'm trying to get at.
Okay, well, that's interesting. I love that you try a variety of different sources to understand based on your question and where you're at and what you're trying to do with your team. If you were to recommend the one book, like one place, one source for a new person coming into the L&D field, what would be that one book that you would recommend that they would have to read coming in new to the L&D space?
That is a very hard question, but I did have something in mind coming into this that I think may be a little bit different angle to it, but for me, I thought it was very useful. It's not a specific book, but again, there's lots of different inputs to L&D, but I'm going to recommend Quiet by Susan Cain. So this is, the subtitle is The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. That might seem a little harsh, but this came out, you know, years ago, but I loved it because I do consider myself an introvert. A lot of people who know me, especially in the working world, are like flabbergasted when they hear me say that because I'm not soft-spoken. I am pretty direct. I'm not shy. But this book helped me understand myself and be able to explain that to others. And then also, I think, better understand others. And I think that is such a huge thing, again, in our space and how we have to influence the business. I think really understanding how we can connect better with people is a huge part of that. That just opens up the door to connecting people in the organization together, having more influence when you're trying to roll out, you know, initiatives for learning. So this book just helped me really truly understand that, you know, kind of break out of the stereotypes and the cliches when we talk about introverts or extroverts, right? This is one of my favorite books ever. In fact, I have to say, my dog chewed it up. I had a copy of this before that my dog chewed up. And since I love this book so much, I had told it in passing to my manager, and then I was able to get a signed copy replacement from Susan Cain, the author. So again, this is hit very home for me personally. There's a million books I'm sure a lot of people would recommend, but that's kind of my unique take on that.
That's really cool. I love it. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
So Chantel, thank you so much for attending as our guest today. We really appreciate it.
Oh, of course. I was happy to be here. Glad to be a part of the conversation.
Awesome. And in order to express our sincere thanks for your participation on the podcast, I want to let you know that we are going to plant 5 trees in your name.
Oh, wow. I love that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we are a company focused on a reforestation effort, and we do this every time we want to express our sincere thanks to folks that help us out, that participate in these podcasts. And so far, we have planted over 3,500 trees.
Wow. I love that. That's really great. Thank you.
Thank you so much again for being our guest. And thank you, everyone, for listening and tuning in to this episode of the Learning Leader Spotlight.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned on today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.